I did. Touched I his hand, through which flows the force. Able at times I am to see that which is hidden. The force was with me this day. The truth to me has been granted. Taken by the dark side, Quinlan Vos has been. Though conceal it well, he does.
Yoda hesitated.
Lost to us, I fear he is.
Kenobi sagged. She was right, he whispered, thinking of Ventress, of her grief and pain, of her determination to free Vos. How blind they had been, all of them, except for her. Asajj Ventress, she who had danced so long with the dark side, had been the only one to recognize it when it contaminated one Kenobi now believed she had truly loved. She was right all along.
Dull the senses, attachment does. But open the eyes, betrayal can.
Yoda continued, his voice still so very kind, so understanding.
Open now they are, and act we must.
A few moments later, an emergency meeting was quietly convened. Yoda, Mace Windu, Obi-Wan Kenobi, Plo Koon, and Ki-Adi Mundi, all the council members who were on site, assembled in the council chamber. Kenobi found himself too restless to sit. He chose to stand, looking out the vast windows as the business of Coruscant swirled past. Although he knew he must appear distracted, he listened intently to the conversation. Yoda went over everything they knew. How long Vos had been in Dooku's power. That Ventress had claimed he had fallen to the dark side. That Republic-crafted bombs, small enough to be hidden in the voluminous robes of a Jedi, and discovered by Vos, had destroyed the supply base on the asteroid. That a key listening outpost had been abandoned, and that the only information as to why was again discovered by Vos, in a way that only he could verify.
In his heart, darkness I found,
Yoda said sadly.
Deep, secret, powerful. The history of items does the Force permit Vos to understand. The history of a soul does the Force permit me to understand. Unacceptable in a court of law it is, but of lying no Jedi will accuse me.
The comment was so inarguably true that no one felt the need to voice agreement. Taken with everything else, Yoda's statement painted a damning picture.
Meet now, we do, to discuss his punishment.
If he has been in communication with Dooku this entire time, Ki-Adi Mundi said, then we must assume that Dooku knows everything Vos does. And that is, unfortunately, a very great deal.
Kenobi closed his eyes briefly. There is no emotion.
This is by far the greatest breach of trust the Jedi have seen since Count Dooku himself betrayed us, Mace said. Even General Krell's deception did less damage. Vos isn't just a Jedi. He's a Jedi Master with unique skills. And he is a Jedi Master in wartime who has worked side by side with Dooku. This is going to have massive repercussions. We all appreciate how serious this is, Master Windu, Kenobi said, a touch sharply. Do you, Master Kenobi? For my part, I think we need to seriously entertain the possibility of execution.
What?
Kenobi turned to stare at him, aghast. Ki-Adi Mundi nodded.
I agree,
he said, his voice solemn.
Many lives will be lost because of what Quinlan Vos has done. Yet again, the Order has been shaken to its core at a time when we can ill afford anything but solidarity and faith in one another. We weathered a storm such as this poorly with the treachery of Baris Offee. None of us could have imagined such a seemingly ideal Padawan turning into a separatist terrorist. Now that it has happened again, it must be dealt with in the firmest manner possible.
Execution?
Utterly disbelieving, Kenobi looked from one face to the next, finding only cold resolution.
You can't be serious.
Can't we?
Mace said flatly. Kenobi turned to Yoda. In the Jedi Master's wrinkled face, Obi-Wan did not see the same merciless expression the others shared. Even so, Yoda was not dismissing the idea. He looked at Kenobi for a long moment before saying with reluctance,
"Everything we must consider."
But this is madness, Kenobi protested. We are not Sith. We do not deal in absolutes. And few things are more absolute than death. An eye for an eye isn't our way. Nothing that Voss has done has cost lives.
That we know of. We still don't know what he was responsible for as Dooku's Admiral Enigma. But going forward, it will cost lives.
Windu was relentless.
Once Dooku realizes that we're on to Voss, he'll stop holding back. He'll exploit every bit of knowledge that traitor has given him. We'll be seeing more than our share of ambushes and destruction, Kenobi. And all of it can be placed at the feet of Quinlan Voss.
But don't you see? Kenobi pleaded. He's as much a victim as anyone. You know what Dooku did to him. The man was tortured, forced to the dark side. He can't be held completely responsible for what he's done.
Others have fought the sway of the Count, and won, Mace said. Even your friend Ventress.
What else would you suggest?
Plo Koon said. Kenobi didn't know. He was so shocked by the turn of the discussion, it was hard to gather his thoughts. He took a deep breath.
We could banish him. Send him to the Outer Rim, maybe even beyond.
Even as he spoke the words, he realized how impossible such a solution was.
With all due respect, Master Kenobi,
Ki-Adi Mundi said, not unkindly,
we are dealing with a highly trained Jedi Master who has turned to the dark side. Because of his actions, albeit indirectly, thousands will die to appease his Sith Master's thirst for bloodshed. Coming back from such a dark place is difficult, even for the strongest of Jedi. He's too dangerous to be unleashed upon the galaxy. Imprisoned, then, Kenobi tried desperately.
He has fallen to the dark side, Mace said, as if trying to explain something to a youngling. He will be looking to escape, and Dooku will be looking to get him back. How long do you think we could hold him?
Come on, Kenobi, think.
What if he's given the chance to turn on Dooku?
What do you mean? Windu asked.
Kenobi worked it out as he spoke.
We sent him to kill Count Dooku. Perhaps if Voss sees the Count again and has a chance to assassinate him, he'll be able to resist the dark side.
He could redeem himself.
Come back from it. Isn't that what we really want? Or are we all just looking for sport?
That is untrue, and you know it, Master Kenobi,
chided Plo Koon.
I do, and I apologize, Obi-Wan said. But this is Voss's life we're talking about.
The three who had called for execution exchanged glances. Yoda's gaze was fixed on Kenobi, and Obi-Wan could tell he was pleased.
Go on, said Mace.
Voss is completely unaware that we know of his transition to the dark side. So we set a trap to test his allegiance. We'll send him after Dooku. If Voss sides with him, then we'll know.
I fail to see how giving Voss back to Dooku is a good thing, Mace said.
You misunderstand. We'll follow him and watch his every move.
Windu considered this.
You will stay close to him.
Absolutely.
Should Voss fail to execute Dooku, you will need to intervene. Do you understand, Master Kenobi?
Kenobi took a deep breath.
I believe I do, Master Windu.
Cloud your judgment. Your feelings must not,
Yoda said.
Do what you must. You will.
I shall. Thank you, Master Yoda.
This test will allow us to see Voss's true colors. And, he added,
his true heart.
Yoda nodded.
Reveal himself to us, Quinlan Voss will. and his own fate, he himself will decide.
Chapter 35.
They had taken to meeting in one of the popular floating parks that hovered above the surface of Coruscant. A little under 2,000 square kilometers, it boasted meadows, forests, and even an artificially created mountain and several lakes. Non-threatening wildlife had been brought in from various worlds, and the lakes were stocked with fish. When Voss had first suggested it, Ventress felt exposed. She was a creature of the dark skies of space, and the dim light of a cockpit, of shadowy alleyways and bars with out-of-the-way alcoves. Even on her homeworld of Dathomir, which was not crowded with beings, the Night Sisters had preferred the confines of the artificially lit cavern to the open. The two had been meeting nearly every day, as often as Voss could sneak away from the temple.
"Think about it," he said once, as they walked hand in hand on a trail beneath towering trees. "This is what our new life could be like. Not having to hide who we are and how we feel."
He nodded pleasantly to a pair of Nautilins who passed them by, also holding hands.
"Here, we're just like they are."
Ventress had thought the idea was like the park itself. A beautiful but imaginary escape, nothing more. But as time passed, she felt it shift to become her new reality. This could indeed, she realized, be who they were. Just two lovers. Nothing more, and assuredly nothing less. Voss was late today. It didn't bother her at first. He was nearly always late. And it was not unpleasant to sit on a bench by the lake with her face turned up to the sun and wait. But time crept past, and worry crept upon her. Had the Jedi discovered their plans to escape? Then Ventress sensed him behind her, his presence warm and strong and welcome. His hands came down on her shoulders, thumbs working to ease the knots, and she smiled as she leaned back. He kissed the top of her head, then jumped over the bench to sit beside her. Her pleasure abated as she saw the furrow on his forehead.
"What's wrong?"
"You're not going to believe it," he said.
"Try me."
Voss draped an arm around her as he spoke, and she leaned into him.
"The Jedi," he said, "have assigned me a new mission. Or rather, asked me to complete an old one."
Ventress stiffened and pulled back, her eyes searching his.
"You're joking. They want you to try to kill Dooku? Again? Voss, you almost didn't make it out the last time."
"I know. But I'm much stronger now."
"Are you sure you're ready to confront him again?"
He nodded firmly. "I'm ready. I now know exactly what he'll try to do, and I'm prepared for it."
Voss tilted up her chin and kissed her softly, lingering for a moment before drawing back to smile at her.
"You don't need to worry about me."
Ventress trailed her fingers over his face, tracing the yellow tattoo, the curve of his jaw. Alarm bells were going off inside her.
"This wasn't a good idea. Leave the order. Let's get out of here, now."
Her voice was low and urgent. He laughed softly, his breath stirring her hair. "Temptress," he growled playfully, then leaned back and sighed.
"Ugh. I can't."
"Why not?"
Voss didn't answer right away. He took her right hand in his left, intertwining their fingers. The alarm bells clanged louder now, shrill and insistent, and Ventress's heartbeat quickened. Had he changed his mind about leaving the Jedi?
"I didn't realize it until they assigned me this task, but Asajj, you and I, we're not free of Dooku. Not really. Not yet. And not ever, until he's dead."
"I don't believe that," Ventress said. "I don't care whether he lives or dies. I don't care about making him pay. Not anymore. I don't need it. The Jedi will get him, or they won't. but someone will. It doesn't have to be me. Or you, Quinlan. The only thing that matters to me now is being with you.
That's exactly why I have to do this, Voss said. How can we possibly find the life we want if we're always looking over our shoulders? That man casts a very long shadow.
Please.
The word came hard for Ventress, and he knew it. Surprise flickered over his face. He closed his eyes for a moment.
Massage, he said. I have to. It's the only way I can find peace. You and I met because I had this task. Now I have a second chance to truly end the threat he poses. And that will give us our chance to be together. Together.
Ventress remembered when Voss first quite literally leapt into her life, tackling Moragai on Pantora. How he had kept pushing for them to work together until she agreed. It was a word he loved to use, a word that always made him smile, just as he did now.
Then let's do it. I'm coming with you,
Ventress stated.
No, Voss said. Absolutely not. I'm not going to risk losing you. Not now.
But you expect me to simply sit by, wring my hands, and hope you come home in one piece? Not a chance.
Voss frowned and started to protest. Ventress wrapped her arms around his neck and kissed him deeply. She felt the tension in his body dissolve as he pulled her closer. She melted into the kiss, putting all the things she felt but couldn't say, not yet, into it. All too soon, Voss drew back. Both of them were trembling. Voss pressed his forehead to hers.
I should have known better than to think I could talk you into staying behind,
he whispered, smiling. Ventress chuckled warmly.
Yes, you should have.
Together?
Together.
Ventress had allowed herself to hope that she had seen the last of the Jedi Temple, so she was not at all pleased to be following Voss inside not just the temple, but to the Jedi Situation Room. Each of the temple's towers had one, Voss told her, and it filled an entire level. She stood next to Voss as they ascended the turbolift in silence, shifting uneasily. Even though she had been given a full pardon, she knew what she and Voss were planning, and she was on edge. When the blast doors opened to admit them, Ventress saw that the room was as imposing as Voss had intimated. The walls were covered with tactical displays, and in the center of the room, standing around a huge holotable, were several Jedi Masters. The expressions on their various faces ranged from Yoda's mild, surprised acceptance to Kenobi's confusion to everyone else's outrage. After the recent weeks of newfound connection, it was hard for Ventress to feign disinterest in Voss. He, however, seemed to have no such difficulty. Perhaps because he had already been hiding their relationship from the Jedi on a daily basis.
What is she doing here? Mace Windu demanded. This is a highly sensitive area, Master Voss.
Master Windu, Voss said. The Council asked me to research and prepare for my mission to assassinate Count Dooku. I consider Asajj Ventress the ultimate resource for that task. And I will remind the Council that it ordered me specifically to seek her out the first time.
His manner was calm, but his voice was strong.
So we did,
Ki-Adi-Mundi said, his voice laden with regret.
And she was indeed granted a full pardon.
You should have cleared this with the Council first, Windu continued.
With respect, I've learned something from young Skywalker, Voss said. Sometimes it's easier to ask forgiveness than permission.
Ventress, said Windu, giving her a withering glance. May I inquire as to whether Voss asked you here solely as a resource, or did he invite you to tag along?
Before Ventress could answer, Voss stepped in smoothly.
Ventress and I came very close to achieving the goal last time, he said. We've learned from the errors we made then. We worked well as a team, and I'm sure we'll do so again.
But...
Ki-Adi-Mundi began. Must I remind the Council of its own actions a second time? Voss said. You pardoned her, remember?
For a moment, Ventress was certain that they were about to have her forcibly ejected from the Situation Room.
Then Master Yoda spoke up.
Pardon her, we did.
Yoda agreed.
Trust her, we do.
To her surprise, Ventress felt a flush of... was it shame? Under his kind gaze. She did not like this, any of it. And the sooner she and Voss were well away from here, the easier she would be.
It's settled, then,
Kenobi said, before anyone else could utter another protest.
This is the most up-to-date information we have on Separatist activity.
He activated a button on the holotable's side, and images of several different worlds appeared. Ventress walked slowly around the table, examining the holographic worlds, quickly analyzing and dismissing options. She did not miss the questioning look that Kenobi threw Voss, nor Quinlan's calm nod of reassurance. She paused in front of one of the translucent blue orbs.
Here, she said. Christophsis.
She touched the hologram, and it zoomed in on a city, not small, but not obviously key either.
Grievous will be here.
This battle?
Windu asked.
It's so irrelevant.
Ventress smiled thinly at him.
Not to Dooku. He has his own vendettas. And Grievous's boss will be...
She zoomed in further, then drew her hand upward. The view changed from looking down at the city to up at the skies above it. She expanded outward again, then yet again, and pointed a slender finger triumphantly at a Separatist dreadnought.
Right here,
she purred.
You're certain?
Kenobi asked dubiously. Ventress narrowed her eyes.
Why, after everything that Dooku has done to me, would I possibly lie to you about this?
A point, Ventress has,
Yoda commented. To Voss, he said,
Full circle you will have come when complete this task is. May the Force be with you.
Voss bowed, then turned to leave. As she followed him, Ventress muttered under her breath,
Yeah, yeah. You did great,
Voss said to her as they approached the Banshee. It was sitting in the middle of a row of Jedi vessels. Ventress thought it was an accurate reflection of her own recent position.
You weren't so bad yourself,
Ventress said.
No wonder it took me a little while to catch you out. You're good at this.
We're good at this. We.
He grinned at her. She smiled back, and for a moment it was just like old times. Then Ventress stiffened. Voss caught it at once.
What is it?
He asked. She paused and looked around the landing platform.
Are you sure this is a solo mission? They seemed kind of jumpy in there. I wonder if we're being followed.
Actually, Voss said, I'm counting on it.
Ventress eyed him narrowly.
What sort of game are you playing, Voss?
No game, I assure you, he said.
Well, perhaps gambling.
But it's a risk I have to take.
I don't like this,
she warned him.
I know, and I promise you, everything will soon become clear.
There was a handsome idiot who told me once that for a team to work, there has to be trust.
Pain showed in his brown eyes. Moss placed his hands on her shoulders.
Hey, he said, sometimes secrets have to be kept for a little while. That doesn't mean you can't trust me.
Not from me, Quinlan,
Ventress said.
You shouldn't keep secrets from me.
I could say something really cruel right now about Master Tholme, but I'm not going to.
You could say something cruel right back, or, Voss said, lifting her chin with his forefinger,
you can trust me, or at least trust in what I feel for you.
Ventress still felt uneasy. But she nodded. That was one thing she was sure of. It would have to be enough.
Come on, she said. Let's go kill a count.
Chapter 36.
The Banshee came out of hyperspace near Christophsis.
Wow,
Voss said, peering out at the fleet of battleships in the distance.
I don't even know what this vendetta is about, do you?
Don't know,
Ventress said dryly.
Don't care.
She touched the controls.
Well, well. It pays to arrive when a battle is in progress. The doors are open, and all hangar shields are deactivated, so the ships can get in and out as needed.
Asajj,
Voss said quietly. Ventress froze at the tone in his voice and looked up at him.
Don't you dare,
she said, her own voice a warning.
There's no way we can hide this ship in the hangar. And this is my battle. You yourself said you didn't need to see Dooku dead. I still have to. I want to do it for me, and I want to do it because I know what good it will do the galaxy.
You want me to just hang around and drive the getaway speeder? Is that it?
Voss knelt beside her chair.
I want you to be safe,
he said, taking her hand.
And wait for me. Because I am coming back to you when this job is done. I promise.
Ventress's eyes searched his. Then she reached out, grabbed the front of his robe, and pulled him toward her, bending her head to kiss him. He returned the kiss eagerly, almost desperately, one hand cupping the back of her head, the other around her shoulders. Then Ventress released him.
You better,
she said.
Because if you don't, I'm coming in after you. That's my promise.
Deal,
he said, and rose. She watched him make his way to the back of the ship and take position beside the door. And then she turned to the controls. Gently, she moved the cloaked ship beside Dooku's massive dreadnought, taking it slowly and carefully toward the open hangar doors. Voss was right. A single person might be able to slip in unnoticed, but her ship would not.
Opening the doors,
she called, and suited action to word.
Almost. Almost,
Voss said.
Just a little closer.
Ventress dropped deep into herself, using her awareness of her surroundings in the Force to bring the door close enough for Voss to leap to safety, but not so close that she would slam into the hangar. She closed her eyes, moving her fingers on the controls, then opened them. She was there. Ventress turned to look at him.
Now!
She cried. Their eyes met. Voss gave her a confident grin and leapt. The shuttle had been Anakin's idea. Naturally. They had brought a commandeered Separatist shuttle aboard the Vigilance, complete with two defunct battle droids Anakin had reprogrammed to be operated remotely. Hidden behind the two droid pilots, seated in the cockpit, Kenobi and Anakin were pressed tightly together in the cramped space.
Anakin, Kenobi said, maneuvering the handheld controls. This plan, like most of your plans, is completely insane.
Try not to be a downer. Just for once. For me.
Anakin spoke into a jury-rigged comlink, and his voice now issued through the droid's metallic mouth. He shot Obi-Wan a triumphant look.
You're going too fast. They're going to know something's wrong,
Kenobi warned. Unlike Anakin, he chose not to speak through the makeshift comm. Anakin's droid hit Obi-Wan's in the arm with a touch too much enjoyment.
Lighten up, will you? Okay, our intel shows that Ventress and Voss have split up, and Voss is inside that cruiser. That must be where Dooku is.
And clearly you just plan on waltzing in.
Roger, roger,
Anakin said, and grinned. The reprogrammed droids continued to be useful even after the trick enabled the Jedi to, as Obi-Wan had said, waltz in. Now on foot and following a good distance behind the clankers, Anakin and Kenobi sent them up ahead into corridors, seeing what the droids saw. At one point, Kenobi said, "We need to find out where Dooku is. I'd say on the bridge."
"Hold that thought," Anakin said.
He marched his droid up a corridor toward a group of blaster-holding battle droids.
"Anakin!"
"Shh," Anakin said. His fingers tapped the controls, and his droid pointed to its own throat.
"My vocabulator is broken."
"Wow, you sound terrible. Better get that repaired,"
one of the other battle droids said.
"Roger, I have information for Count Dooku. Where is he located?"
the Anakin droid asked.
"He's on the bridge, but he's heading to the observation room now. I'd change your voice first, though,"
the other one advised.
"Roger, roger,"
Anakin's droid said, and marched on. Kenobi turned and said with reluctant admiration,
"Well done, Anakin."
"Roger, no,"
Kenobi interrupted.
"Let's get to the observation deck before Dooku does."
They continued to utilize their droids for recon, finally parking them in an out-of-the-way corner. The droids would be discovered at some point, but the Jedi hoped to have their business concluded by then and be on their way back to Coruscant, one way or another. Even taking an indirect route, they did arrive before the ship's master, though with only a few moments to spare. They glanced around, chagrined.
"Why does Dooku have to be so tidy?"
Anakin muttered. There was only one place to hide, and it was painfully obvious, beneath the large, curving desk off to one side.
"Cluttered room, cluttered mind," murmured Kenobi absently.
"Well, at least it's not a difficult choice. We can both fit under there if we try, but we'd better hurry."
Kenobi was right on both counts. He and Anakin had just settled themselves into a position where, if they were careful, they could peer around the edge of the desk when the door slid open. Count Dooku entered alone, and for a moment, Kenobi thought he had sensed them. The Count paused, frowning, his gaze moving about the room. Both Kenobi and Anakin ducked back, gripping their lightsaber hilts. Dooku was actually walking toward the desk when the door opened again. Standing in the doorway, flanked by a group of battle droids, was Quinlan Vos, but one who looked nothing like the cheerful Jedi whom Kenobi had known for years. This man looked cold, arrogant, evil. Beside Kenobi, Anakin made a soft, angry sound and started to rise. Obi-Wan laid a hand on his arm and mouthed the word, "Wait."
"We brought him here, sir, just like you asked,"
one of the battle droids said.
"Vos," Dooku said, "were you successful?"
"I'm here, aren't I?"
Vos answered. His voice was as icy as his expression. Dooku chuckled, looking the other man up and down appraisingly.
"You seem unburdened. I sense a greater strength in you."
"I agree," Vos said. "I am calmer, more focused, stronger than before."
In the blink of an eye, he seized and activated his lightsaber. Its green glow bathed his face as he smiled.
"Strong enough to kill you."
This time, looking relieved, Anakin moved to get up. Again, Kenobi held him back.
"Let this play out," he whispered. "We must be absolutely certain."
Dooku's own lightsaber was activated now, and the two men regarded each other. Dooku sighed.
"Must we do this yet again? This time I shall make certain to swat this pesky fly."
The Count went from standing perfectly still to a blur. But Vos was faster. He leapt up and over Dooku, just in time to prevent the red blade from severing his legs. Dooku whirled as Vos's blade slashed down and caught it on his own. Vos kicked out in a long swipe, angling his body to force his enemy's blade down. Dooku let himself fall, seizing Vos in the force and hurling him across the room. The Count extended his arm, and Force Lightning leapt from his hand. But Voss wasn't there. He stretched out his own hand, and Dooku's lightsaber flew into his open palm. Voss smiled, a cruel, satisfied smile. Dooku appeared unrattled, blasting another round of Force Lightning. While Voss crossed both green and red lightsabers in front of him in a protective X, Dooku made a pulling motion with his other hand, and Voss was flipped backward. The red lightsaber returned to its owner, and the fight continued. Both Jedi watching were prepared to act if need be. Indeed, Anakin was more than eager to do so. The truth be told, Voss seemed to be holding his own against Dooku. He leapt, sprang, ducked, and tumbled. Dooku might have been a master of technique, but Voss's characteristic unpredictability, quite possibly even to himself, often gave him the edge. As it did now, Voss all but danced around Dooku, forcing the older man to whirl, strike, and block from every side. And then, there it was. Dooku overextended. Only a trifle. And the next thing Kenobi knew, the Count's lightsaber was across the room, and the Count himself was on his back. Voss smiled down at the defeated Sith. The tip of his lightsaber was a centimeter away from Dooku's throat. Even now, Kenobi waited. Why wasn't Voss taking the final step? Dooku, defiant to the last, spoke up.
"What can you possibly think you'd gain from my death?"
he sneered.
"A sense of satisfaction? A badge of honor?"
Voss leaned closer, his gaze locked with Dooku's.
"A new master," he said.
"What's he doing?"
Anakin hissed. Dooku, too, seemed startled.
"Impossible,"
he snapped. Voss calmly grabbed Dooku by the hair and slammed his head violently against the floor.
"Is it?" he asked. "After all your betrayals, your mistakes, you think your lord would be so quick to deny me?"
"Sidious will kill you as soon as he lays eyes upon you. Do you think he accepts just anyone as an apprentice? A mediocre Jedi, no less?"
"Mediocre? Who's got the lightsaber?"
Again, Voss slammed Dooku's head against the unyielding metal of the deck, this time with his hand around the older man's throat. Voss's fingers tightened.
"You need an introduction,"
Dooku choked out.
"Obi-Wan,"
Anakin said in a low, urgent voice. Kenobi held up a hand. He sensed there was more to learn before they intervened. Perhaps even the identity of this second Sith Lord.
"You're lying," said Voss.
But Kenobi noticed that he had relaxed his grip so that Dooku could speak more easily.
"Am I? Go then. Find him. See what happens. Or you could join with me again. We will defeat Sidious together."
"I won't be your apprentice."
Voss started to choke Dooku again.
"No! No!"
Dooku wheezed.
"A team! Equals!"
"Sith don't work that way."
"Are you and I ordinary Sith?"
Voss still looked skeptical.
"You know where he is? And do not lie to me."
"Of course I know. I'm the only one he trusts."
There was a long, tense minute. Kenobi hoped desperately that Voss wouldn't take that final step. That one that would doom him.
"Don't let him go, old friend."
Voss released Dooku.
"Then let's go find..."
As one, Anakin and Obi-Wan sprang from their place of concealment. Dooku leapt up, hissing.
"Jedi!"
Obi-Wan was too devastated to speak. He lunged for Dooku, kicking the Count's legs out from underneath him, then thrust out his hand. Dooku's lightsaber flew toward him from the corner of the room where it had rolled. Obi-Wan ignited it and placed the tip a hair's breadth away from Dooku's chest. Anakin had targeted Voss, headbutting him and snatching up Voss's lightsaber. He stood over Voss, pain and anger warring on his face as he spoke.
I am happy to say that this little unholy alliance you two have formed is officially over.
Count Dooku, Quinlan Vos,
Kenobi said, surprised at how strong and steady his voice sounded.
You are both under arrest on charges of treason.
Obi-Wan,
Vos began, staring with a shocked expression at his old friend.
You had your chance,
Kenobi snapped.
More than one. Come on.
Chapter 37.
The darkness of the Vigilance's war room suited the somberness of the news. The only light came from the multicolored small screens on the various black consoles, and from the cool blue of Master Kenobi's grim-visaged hologram. Beside the Moran, Cav Bayons, a Shagrian Jedi Knight, stood in shock, his mouth slightly open. Even Commander Cody looked stunned.
There must be some mistake,
Desh stammered.
I wish there were,
Kenobi said. He looked old and sadder than Desh had ever seen him.
The only good news is we now also have Count Dooku in custody. General Skywalker and I will be rendezvousing with you shortly with the prisoners.
Kenobi hesitated.
Bayons, Desh, you should know that my orders from the Council originally stipulated execution. It may yet come to that, and we may be the ones asked to perform it.
Execution? Both of them? This can't possibly be happening.
Both of them,
Kenobi repeated heavily.
I'll be checking in with the Council immediately upon my arrival, and I hope they will be open to reconsidering the sentence. I wanted you both to understand the full import of this situation. Please meet us in the hangar, and bring enough men to properly provide escort for the prisoners to the brig.
Yes, Master Kenobi,
Desh said automatically. Kenobi's image flickered and disappeared. Desh stood for a moment, dazed. Cody looked at him with a mixture of pity, compassion, and resolve. Bayons had a sympathetic look on his light blue face. Tall, younger than Desh, he had distinguished himself in battle, but the Moran suspected this was the Shagrian's first encounter with the true power of the dark side. Truth be told, it was Desh's too, and it was more devastating than he ever could have imagined.
Desh, I'm so sorry, Bayons said. I know you and Master Vos were friends.
Yes, I've known Quinlan for most of my life. I can't believe it.
It's always a shocker when one of your own betrays you,
Cody said.
We clones had a similar situation a couple years back. One of our men, Slick, turned against us. He was working with the enemy. Said he loved his brothers, but he was selling information to Ventress and sabotaging our supplies. Doing things that could end up getting a lot of those brothers killed. Funny way of showing love, if you ask me.
He shook his head.
I hope you'll forgive me for saying this, sir, but I'd almost rather have my mate seduced by the dark side than be a simple turncoat.
No forgiveness needed, Desh said. But either way, it's a tragedy.
He squared his narrow shoulders and gathered himself. They had a job to do.
Commander, he said, how many men should we bring to the hangar?
Cody chuckled humorlessly.
For Count Dooku and Quinlan Vos? 200 ought to do it.
It was considerably fewer than 200, but a full 24 armed clones, hand-picked by Cody, assembled in the Vigilance's cavernous hangar to await the arrival of the infamous prisoners. Even with advance warning, Desh wasn't prepared to see his old friend being marched out of the Jedi shuttle in stun cuffs alongside the infamous Count Dooku. General Skywalker looked as if he wished he could lop off Vos's head then and there. Master Kenobi also wore a grim, angry look, but there was pain there, too. Desh reached into the Force and calmed himself.
He could see it now, he realized. The flat, cold expression in Voss's eyes. The cruel set of his mouth. So much like Dooku's. Doubtless feeling his gaze, Voss turned to regard his old friend Desh. There was no flicker of remorse or pleading, or anything other than cold hate on those familiar features. Desh swallowed hard. This was going to be the most difficult thing he'd ever done.
Sir,
said Cody,
we've brought 2 dozen of our finest men to serve as escort, and I've stationed clones every couple of meters between here and the brig.
Skywalker was practically shoving Voss toward Desh, as Kenobi said,
Good job, Commander.
The Jedi Master transferred Dooku to Bayon's with more decorum, though no less distaste. Desh noticed that Kenobi seemed unable to bring himself even to look at Voss.
These two have a tendency to slip away.
Not on my watch, sir.
Let's go tell the Council, Anakin,
Kenobi said, with a final glare at both Dooku and Voss. Skywalker turned and followed Kenobi. And then Desh was face to face with Voss. He found himself baring his sharp white teeth in a silent snarl. Wordlessly, he nodded to the clones. 4 of them, including Cody, who made straight for Dooku, stepped up to grasp the prisoner's arms and march the captives to the hold.
Desh, you're making a mistake, Voss said.
You already made one!
Desh snapped. The hackles on his neck rose, and his nostrils flared as he drew breath to calm himself.
And now you might have to die for it.
He knew he shouldn't say anything more. He should be calm, remind himself of the Jedi Code, remain non-attached. It simply wasn't possible.
What the hell were you thinking, Voss?
Desh's voice cracked slightly.
Why did you do this?
His reasons are his own,
Dooku said smoothly.
You be quiet,
Bayon snapped. The group continued in silence. The 4 clones flanking the prisoners kept a tight hold on manacled arms. 12 clones walked in front of them, the Jedi followed behind, and the rest of the clones brought up the rear. Somewhat to Desh's surprise, neither Voss nor Dooku offered resistance. Abruptly, Voss stopped and turned to Desh.
You want to know why I did it?
He asked, and Desh couldn't read his expression.
Don't bother pleading,
said the clone on Voss's right, yanking his arm.
Sir,
warned Cody.
Do not listen to him.
Desh held up a hand.
No, wait. It's all right, Commander. I want to hear this.
He stepped directly in front of Voss and folded his arms, his ears flat against his head.
Go ahead.
Jedi don't understand, Voss said, his voice dripping contempt. You can't grasp the full power of the dark side. You're too afraid to wield it. You're not prepared to make the sacrifices necessary. You're weak, Desh. Weak and pathetic.
And I'm...
Desh's lightsaber flew into Voss's hands.
Sorry,
Voss finished, violently force-shoving the shocked Jedi into the clones behind him. They went flying. Desh sprang to his feet just in time to see Voss slice through Dooku's bonds. The Count emulated his ally, seizing Bayon's lightsaber. In rapid succession, Dooku cut down 1 clone escort, forced through Cody down the corridor and against the bulkhead, freed Voss, then blasted everyone in front of him, including Bayon's with force lightning. The Shagrian and the 4 clones went down, writhing in agony. Holding Desh's blue lightsaber, Voss charged at him. Their eyes met. Desh growled and started toward his old friend. But just as he reached out to grab Voss and the Force, the former Jedi Master soared over the heads of both the Moran and the clones and continued running down the hall back toward the hangar. Dooku followed him. Desh glanced over his shoulder. All but 1 of the clones lay at such unnatural angles that it was clear they would never rise again. Cody seemed to be injured but alive. Bayon's was a little dazed, but he quickly shook his head and joined Desh in giving chase. The few clones still on their feet were firing at the escaped prisoners. Voss whirled,
batting back the blasts and shouting to Dooku, "Take them out!"
"With pleasure,"
Dooku purred. He paused, shot both hands out in front of him, and raised his clenched fists. The clones were lifted in the force, dropping their blasters as their hands went to their necks to pry off invisible hands. Desh heard an awful crunch, and they both went limp. Sneering, Dooku hurled the corpses directly at Bayonz and Desh. The two Jedi dodged and kept coming. There was only one thought in Desh's mind as he summoned the Force to him and used it to leap at a man he had considered a great friend. Stop, Voss. It was clear to Desh now that the only way to do that was to kill him. To kill him and to die with him. The Moran snapped his right wrist as he sprang, splaying his hand. A 6-centimeter shard of bone, slick with black venom, emerged directly below his palm. The action of exposing the stinger released its toxin into Desh's bloodstream. It was not painful, not yet. Just as his leap was about to bring him crashing down atop Voss, the Sith apprentice, for such Desh now knew him to be, shot out a hand. Desh was suddenly whipped around. To his horror, Voss had hurled him straight at Bayonz. Desperately, Desh tried to twist to the side, to angle his stinger away from his fellow Jedi. But it was too late. The lethal tip grazed the Shagrian's blue face, drawing a thin line of blood. The surrounding flesh began to swell immediately. Bayonz's eyes went wide as he stared, shocked at Desh. He lurched to the side, catching himself on the wall. Venom pumped more freely now throughout Desh's body. He lay where he had fallen, shaking with agony, as his blood turned to liquid fire, scalding him with every beat of his heart. He bit back a howl, and froth dripped from his muzzle. His vision was starting to deteriorate. In a few moments, he would be completely blind. But for now, he could dimly make out the figure standing over him. Voss knew about the Moran birthright, and he knew that death, while inevitable, could sometimes take as long as 10 minutes, and would be an excruciating torment. So it was that when Voss lifted Desh's own lightsaber and brought it sweeping down, Desh was unsure if Voss meant the death blow as a cruelty or a kindness. Kenobi took a deep breath. There was no point in putting this off any longer. He pressed a button on the holographic table in the war room, and an image of the Jedi Council appeared. He looked to Yoda first, who regarded him solemnly.
"Fallen, Voss has."
It was a statement, not a question. "Yes, Master Yoda," Kenobi replied. Even to his own ears, his voice sounded disheartened. "We have taken both Voss and Dooku into custody." He gave them a brief summary of events.
"I am truly sorry things worked out this way, Master Kenobi,"
Windu said.
"But I think we can all agree that this matter has been resolved. Quinlan Voss has signed his own death warrant."
The entire council looked dismayed, even Windu. There was no doubt in Kenobi's mind that the other master would have preferred to be wrong. Yoda nodded sadly.
"Signed it, he has."
"We can take care of the matter here, if you wish. Bloodless words for a bloody deed," Kenobi thought as he spoke them.
Yoda shook his head.
"Anticipate a capture of both, we did not. To the temple you will bring them. If information from them we obtain, saved lives can be. But in the end, executions must we have."
"Yes, Master Yoda." Kenobi pressed a button, and the hologram disappeared. He placed both hands on the table and bowed his head for a moment.
"Hey," said Anakin, "this isn't your fault."
Kenobi gave him a humorless chuckle.
"Isn't it? I'm the one who suggested him for the mission in the first place."
You couldn't possibly have known...
General Kenobi! General Skywalker!
Cody's voice issuing from Kenobi's comlink was frantic.
They've escaped. Looks like my men are all dead. They got Desh and Beyonds, too. They're heading down the corridor now. Back to the hangar.
Can you give chase? Kenobi asked. As he spoke, he and Anakin had already activated their lightsabers and were heading to the door.
Sorry, sir. That's a negative. My leg's been snapped like a twig.
We'll get you patched up, Cody. Don't you worry.
Anakin said, muttering.
I'm slippery, slimy.
Save your breath, said Kenobi. And run!
Ventress?
Ventress closed her eyes in relief.
Voss, is it done?
I'm sending you the coordinates of our location.
His voice was tense.
Coordinates? Our? Who's with you?
I'll explain later.
You'll explain now.
Now is really not the time.
His voice was rising, and he sounded distracted. Again, the alarm bell sounded in her mind.
Fine. I'm on my way. But I don't like this, Voss.
She entered the coordinates, and her eyes widened.
Voss was on a Jedi cruiser.
For a moment, Ventress hesitated. Something had clearly gone wrong. But Voss wasn't dark. The Jedi needed to know that. Perhaps she should reach out to Kenobi. Even as she had the thought, Ventress dismissed it. No. Better to rescue Voss and disappear immediately. Let the Jedi think what they would. Their opinion would no longer matter.
Ventress brought her ship beside the hangar door just as it opened. Activating the door to the Banshee, she heard two thumps as Voss and his unknown companion jumped inside. She hit the controls, slamming the door shut and sped off, entering random coordinates to confound pursuit. Then unbuckled herself and strode back to greet Voss.
I see you're still in one...
Her voice trailed off.
Dooku.
Standing in the hold and peering up at her, the Count seemed almost as shocked as she was. White-hot anger shot through Ventress, and she whirled on Voss.
What have you done?
It's not what you... Voss began.
It's not what I think. How is this possibly not what I think? Dooku, in the flesh, still alive?
Our escape plans hinged on her?
Dooku exclaimed, almost at the same moment, his lip curling.
The most abysmal assassin of all time?
Voss's face went hard, and he shoved Dooku.
Watch your mouth.
I don't trust her.
Well, I do. And you're free because of me. We had a deal. Understand?
Contempt and resignation flickered over Dooku's patrician face. Then he nodded.
Good. Now strap yourself in. Voss,
Ventress said, barely reining in her anger.
We need to talk, now!
She jerked her head toward the cockpit. Voss nodded and quickly climbed the ladder. Glancing back at the hold, Ventress whispered,
What the hell is going on?
I will tell you, I promise.
Yes, you will,
Ventress agreed.
Right now!
Right now we've got a Jedi cruiser on our tail. Let's get somewhere safe first, and then I'll tell you everything.
Where is safe?
Christophsis. We'll rendezvous with the Separatist cruiser there that's expecting us. While he was speaking, his gaze wandered to the hold, and his eyes narrowed. Ventress looked at him incredulously for a moment. She searched his face, seeking answers there. He was right. They were fleeing, and Dooku absolutely needed to be watched every minute.
All right,
she agreed.
But I don't know of anything you can say that can convince me that bringing him along isn't a huge mistake. One that might get us killed.
Chapter 38
Skywalker and Kenobi stood on the bridge of the Vigilance, which was closing the distance fast.
Obi-Wan,
Anakin said, watching the Banshee head straight for a Separatist dreadnought.
We can't allow them to escape again. We've got to fire on them.
and risk killing all on board? Kenobi shook his head. No. We must take them back to the temple alive. There's too much they know that we need to find.